Hello, everyone. Welcome for being here. I am so grateful that you gave us some of your very valuable time. And I'm Dr. Sandy Gluckman. My practice is Parenting That Heals. Today's part one is all about the secrets of raising confident children. So I think it's important for us to begin with, what is confidence? We know we talk so much about this thing of self-confidence and confidence, and we kind of all think that we're interpreting it in exactly the same way. But actually, let's just get on the same page for this masterclass today. And that is that my definition of confidence is that the child feels, I am me. And whatever I am, whatever this me is so enough. Enough for mommy, enough for daddy, enough for the teachers, enough for the world. So it's a feeling of being whole, of just being fine. Who I am is fine. And so really what I'm saying is that children arrive with confidence. It can't be any other way. Children cannot be born with a low level of confidence. That would just not be possible. So they arrive totally whole, totally confident, feeling at one with who they are. So the title of today's masterclass is The Secrets of Raising Confident Children. So here is secret number one. And that secret is that we need to understand that our children arrived confident, and the secret is to help them maintain the confidence that they arrived with. And you would think we would want to do that, surely, you know, it would be one of our primary goals, is not to mess with this incredible wholeness and confidence that our children arrive with, and yet we do mess with it. So why don't we just maintain that beautiful confidence that they come into the world with? And the answer is, quite naturally, as a mom or a dad, we want our kiddos to be perfect. We want them to be everything that they could be. We want them to achieve their goals, to be successful, to be the best version of themselves. We want them to get good grades, to be socially confident. We want them to be good on the sports field. We want them to look good. We just want them to be perfect. And that's a natural thing for a parent to want. The problem is that from that moment of birth onwards, in our incredible desire for our children to be perfect, we begin to place expectations on them. We start to put rules in place. We start to put regulations and consequences. And basically, we are telling them very subtly that, well, the way you came into the world, it's just not quite right yet. It's not enough. It's not perfect yet. So we need to change some things. And the more often we are telling our children that, you know, there are certain things I expect and I want from you because it's for your good, but at the same time, I need you to be able to live up to my expectations. And the more often we send that message to them, eventually they begin to get this message or this feeling that who I am, the way I am, is just not enough for mom or dad. It's kind of lacking. And the thing is that they begin to feel like they have to live up to our expectations in order to receive our approval. And when they do live up to our expectations, wow, we are just validating them and approving of them. But actually, very often, our expectations of them and who they truly are not matching. So they are beginning to be what we want them to be, but they are not being true to their inner self, to their true self, to that whole confident being that came into this world. And so in the name of making them better, and making them perfect, we begin to separate them from their real authentic confidence. And you know, it's pretty sad because every time I say this, I feel bad. I'm a mom too and a grandmother. And I feel bad telling moms and dads that with all the love we have for our children and the very best intentions we have for them, we are often the trigger for them starting to separate from their real confidence and losing their confidence, which is a hard thing to tell a parent. And it's a hard thing for a parent to hear. But the truth of the matter is, it happens so much. And what it means is that we are constantly having conversations with them about how they could do something better, how they can do something different, what it is that we're wanting them to be like, and why what they are like isn't working for us. There's these constant conversations with them about that. And as I said, eventually they just come to the conclusion that, well, the way I am and who I am, it's just not enough. So the truth is that in my mind, there is no child in the world that is not enough. Every child is what I call so enough in their own kind of way. And that's the point. They are so enough in their own kind of way, but maybe not within the kind of framework or definition of enoughness that we have as a parent. So the question becomes, well, where did we get as moms and dads this definition of perfection? Why are we always wanting to them to be more and better and, you know, and just not staying with the wonder of who it is that they are? And the answer is very often that the reason for that is that it comes from a program that we brought with us from our childhoods. And in this program, which contains some good things, but also which contains a lot of stuff that is kind of gone past its due by date. It's just not no longer relevant, no longer valid for the existing realities. But we have brought this program with us. It sits in our neural pathways and in our DNA. And now we want to impose those kinds of shoulds and should nots onto our children without actually asking, does this fit for this little boy I've brought into this world, or this wondrous little girl that is sitting in front of me? And not asking actually what is inside of this little girl or this little boy. So I think we'll come back to talking about programs either later in this session today or certainly in part two. But let me go on and repeat what I started off by saying, and that is that the real secret to raising confident children is to maintain and honor and support and validate the confidence that they arrived with in this world, the wholeness that they arrived with. So the question is, how do I do that? Well, first of all, we have to realize that we are actually living in a dream of perfection. We are striving for perfection in our children, and very often that is not helping them in any way whatsoever. So we need that shift in our mindset. But we also need to know that one of the primal needs that a child enters this world with is the need to be seen for who it is that I am. They need to know that you see me. You see me in my inner being. You know who it is that I am, and you honor it, and you treasure it, and you support it. They need to know that very badly, because when you give them that sense of, I see you, and who you are is just perfect, that's where the confidence comes from. That's how you're maintaining the confidence they came into the world with. That's how they develop emotional resilience. I mean, you know, think about it for yourself. Think about when you're with somebody who, you know, you're sitting and you're talking and they sort of reflect back to you something about yourself, and you get this feeling of something positive, obviously, and you get this feeling of, oh, she knows me. She sees me. And it's like just the most amazing, empowering feeling to know I've been seen, and what I am is just acceptable and wonderful. And that's where the confidence comes from. So then I've got parents who tell me, well, Dr. Sandy, of course I see my child. What do you mean I don't see my child? And I know we see them, but do we see into their being? Do we see the insides of them? Do we know the insides of them? Because research has shown over and over again that the children who have parents who relate to their inner being rather than their outer doing are the children who are the most confident and the most emotionally resilient. So let me say that again, because it's hugely important. The parents who have the ability to relate to and engage with and see the inner being of their child are the parents who raise the most confident, emotionally resilient children. So what do I mean by engaging with a child's inner being? Well, you know, if you think about it, because of the kind of reality we all live with huge pressure and huge expectations. And we place these onto our children, as do the schools as well. And so we're constantly talking about and interacting with the outer child. Like, have you done? Are you doing? How's it going? Are you delivering the grades? That looks ugly. You mustn't speak like it. We're constantly engaging with the outer being. If you think about your conversations over a week with your child, ask ourselves, how often did I have a conversation about the child's inner being? How often did I ask my child something like, hey, how are you feeling today? Or tell me something that happened today that made you feel so glad or so grateful or so excited. Or, you know, I'm really interested in what you think about this. I was thinking about ABCD and I'd love your opinion. What are your thoughts? Just anything that gets the child to connect to who they are. Because so many children that I see in the clinic, they arrive, I guess the majority of children I see are somewhere between 7 and 17. And they come there, they have very little sense of identity. They don't really know who they are. They know who their mommy wants them to be. They know what their daddy wants them to be. But they don't really have a very strong sense of self-identity. And so how can you have self-confidence if you have not wrapped your arms around, this is me, and feel comfortable saying, this is me? And the only way that the child can do that is when we as parents have conversations with them about what's going on inside of them, who they are, what they think, what they believe, what their dreams are, what makes them excited, what makes them sad, what makes them mad. All of those kinds of things are hugely important. They do not get enough attention because we are so busy focusing on the external values that we have, which are grades and athletics and looking wonderful and wearing the good brands and being very material about things and so on. You know, I go to a yoga clinic, a yoga studio, and I'm often in the change room, and I'm one of the oldest people there. And all of the others are young mothers. And I'm listening to their conversations. And I'm hearing things like, only about the children's grades, how well the child has done, how successful they are being if they are teenagers, how what college they are going to, how smart they are. I have never, in 20 years of being in a change room, whether it's the yoga or the gym or the tennis or whatever it is I do, I have never heard young parents talk to each other about, my son, you know, I'm just so proud of him. He is such a compassionate boy. He just has the biggest heart for everybody. Or something like, you know, my daughter, she is the most intuitive little girl ever. She just picks up on things around her all the time in the most insightful, intuitive way. Or I never hear them say things like, my son he's an amazing cook. He just seems to naturally understand what ingredients need to come together, and he cooks the most amazing meals for us. I don't just hear those kind of conversations because, I don't know, for some reason, we focus a lot on, I think, the external being. And of course, there is some need to do that. But I think that the balance of our attention to the child's outer being and inner being is not a good balance. So, The other thing we need to do with children is that we need to send them the message that mistakes are fine. Nobody is perfect. We are not looking for perfection. We're just looking for you to be the best version of who you are. To know that you're just being you. You be you, and I will be me, and together we will be wonderful. I don't want you to be a mini-me. So it's important for them to know they have their own identities. They have Sandra, their own perceptions. Yes.
Can I ask a question?
Sure, go ahead. You know, I told you I can ramble. So go ahead.
Well, I think I felt maybe I was messing up your recording. But
no,
anyway,
no,
that's fine. Okay.
I'm a great editor if I need
let me give you a case. So I know a boy who's a very, I admire his self confidence, his ability, you know, in a world of indecision, he's a very decisive individual.
Yes.
He knows himself. But yes. He identifies himself as not feeling this completing school is not important and going to college is not important and has no interest in material things and really doesn't want to participate in the modern civilization that we've created. And in a lot of ways, I respect that, But the cultural conditioning, of course, in our, you know, in our modern world is so strong that it, in some ways, I really admire his leadership in charting a new course. But you worry about the ramifications, of course, of not completing high school and not being able to be a productive worker and so forth and so on.
Yes.
So how do you embrace his own self-stated reality of who he is and his, and also embrace the reality of our culture and what the cultural expectations are?
Yes. Oh, that's a wonderful question. Thank you for asking it. So, and it's a big one. It's a big one because I am coming across more and more of those children, even young ones, you know, not only the teenagers, but even young ones who are questioning the educational system. Well, they don't put it that way, but obviously questioning the value of what they're learning. And those children, let me begin by saying that I believe that those children's brains are wired differently. They certainly are children or young adults with very strong right brain. So I'm not sure if everybody who's listening is aware of the left brain and right brain, but just a quickie, the left brain is the logical, rational, ordered, sequential, nuts and bolts, brain. The right brain is the big picture brain. It is intuitive. It is emotional. It is artistic. And it has an ability to see things in a different kind of way. So chances are that this boy that you're talking about is probably very right brain dominant, which means that he has a different worldview and it's not a material one. And so your question is, how do we embrace this when actually the cultural values are so very different? And my answer is, you work with him to discover what it is that he is dreaming about. How does he see the world? Essentially, what I do with if these children are in my consulting room is that I ask them an interesting question and I get such fascinating answers. I ask them, if you could fix something for lots of people in this world or make it a better place for lots of people in this world, what would you want to do? And then once they discover that they could actually do something significant, which is not according to the curriculum and according to the cultural go to college type stuff, if they discover that they could be someone who makes a significant difference to the world and to people's lives, and if they can identify what it is they would like to fix in our broken world, then I have found they are actually excited to go to learn how to do it. So it's all about the kind of conversations you would have with him, Jeff, or whoever's with this person, this child, is to discover what he can hang his hat on, what he would feel inspired by, what would motivate him. And then it's, of course, it's all up to one thing, and that's the parents being able to let go of this myth. And I really think it's a huge myth, especially these days, that education, that a college education is absolutely essential for success. The truth of the matter is lots of the big organizations who are hugely, hugely successful are looking for non-college degreed people who are innovative and can see things differently. Does that answer your question?
It does. I think it, to me, what you're saying is to embrace his perception of who he is and the strength with which he embraces it, and not it, because, but the thing is every touch point he's had with our civilization has told him that he's not right from from the time he's been in, you know, started education. And he has amazingly not changed his course. I don't think he's really able to, because I think you're right. His reality is what it is, and he sees that so clearly.
I'm excited to hear about this book.
It's amazing, but everyone around him feels that he's broken, and so he's got a very heavy burden of feeling the weight of that on him, and that's troubling, and that's, you know.
And guess who are the broken ones?
I know.
Yeah. Really,
I know.
Those around him are the broken ones, because they have outdated values, an outdated way of relating to these brilliant children whose brains are wired differently. They are the broken ones, and it breaks my heart, honestly, to think that this most amazing young person is not feeling good about himself, because they're probably labeling him as unmotivated. You know, I don't know what other words they would use, but I know that most often I hear, my child is so unmotivated. And then immediately I'm going, okay, that's because you're forcing them to be something that he's not.
Yes, rebellious. There's a disorder of, I forget what it's called, in which you question authority everywhere you go. And yeah, that type of
oppositional defiance, ODD. Mm-hmm.
Right.
That is such a rubbish disorder, excuse me saying. I usually use a stronger word, but I know this video is going out. It is a nonsense so-called disorder. Mm. It is created by stress. Children who are defiant and oppositional are children who are feeling that the world does not see them, does not know them, does not honor them, and they become defiant because of the stress inside of them. It's their way of surviving the stress of not being recognized.
Hmm. Thank you.
Okay, and thank you for the very good question. So let me find my way back. And what I was saying is, and funnily enough, because my next point was that the first primal need of children, we said, is for you to see me. See me, know me, honor me, support me, validate me. And I will fly. Don't try to make me into a mini you or something that I'm not. Second, most important, how do I maintain the child's confidence, is that the child needs us to believe in me. It's a second primary need, is to know that I make a difference, that I make a difference, and that people believe in what it is I'm bringing into this world. So for this particular example that you gave, Jeff, he's not getting the message that he is, that people believe in him for who he is and the magic and wonder that lives inside of him. So that brings me then to the third part of today's message, masterclass message. And that is that, well, I'm going to go back for a moment before I get to this third part. And I just want to touch once more on this issue of I'm not enough. And the fact that Dr. Artiana and myself, we are seeing an epidemic of children of all ages, even young ones, who believe they're not enough. And you know how we know that? Well, first of all, they have a lot of physical symptoms because the body is responding to that inner pain of feeling like I'm not enough. But we also know it because they tell us. They actually use those words. And it amazes me that they say, I don't feel like I'm good enough. And it's a painful thing to watch that this epidemic is growing. And when these children feel like they're not good enough, they will become enormously stressed. And the stress will show itself in what we've, you might have watched some of the other videos, which we call fight, flight, or freeze. So, you know, the rebellious, that's the fighter. The withdrawn, unmotivated, maybe depressed, that's the flighter, fleeing inwards. And the child who's frozen, just won't do anything, don't try anything, is in freeze mode. So we give birth to this beautiful baby, which we love with everything in our being, who arrives whole and confident with great natural talents, abilities, strengths inside of them. Then we separate them from their confidence and we unintentionally send the message that, sorry, but the way you are is just not good enough. And then we rush off to the doctors because we're having some kind of physical symptoms or we're having some kind of emotional symptoms. And then what happens is if it is a emotional symptom, we're going to get a label like ODD or a whole post ADHD or a long list of diagnostic labels these children get. And if you go back to the very beginning of the underlying root cause of what has brought around all these symptoms and challenges in the child and the family's life, it all goes back to the fact that we are not seeing the child for who it is that they are, and they're feeling separated from their true being, and therefore they don't have a real self, and therefore they are not self-confident. So here's the third and the last part, and that is that as moms and dads, we need to reflect on ourselves. I think that it is really important, and the time has come for us to understand that every move we make is shaping the brain of our children. We shape our children's brains by the things that we say, the look on our faces, the tone of our voice, the expectations and consequences, which I hate that we impose upon them. We're shaping their brains. We are wiring them in ways that are not always very productive. In fact, if you think about the I'm not enough belief, and I've spoken about this so often, so you may have heard me, it's a belief that lives in a neural pathway. It's in the brain. So it has been wired in over the years. And again, it's totally unintentional. No person, no mom or dad in the world would do this if they knew what they were doing. But they just, the kid gets the message and it gets wired deeper and deeper into this neural pathway. And the good news is we can rewire it though. So as moms and dads, and those are the people I work with, before I see a child, I will not see a child until I've worked with moms and dads. We need to reflect on ourselves and ask ourselves, do I see myself? Do I know myself? Have I been repressing myself for years and years? Or have I been being the true, authentic, powerful me? We have to even ask ourselves, do I feel like I am enough? Or do I feel like sometimes I'm just not enough, not good enough as a mom or a dad, or just not good enough? And these children, they are like sponges. They will pick up from mom and dad all their beliefs, because it comes through in the way we parent. If we believe that we are not enough, it comes through in our parenting style. And what happens is that parents who don't have a strong inner being of their own, who don't have that beautiful sense of wholeness and peace inside of them, these parents will actually upset the neurochemistry of their children because they come across with fear. Why do we want our children to be perfect? Yes, because we have this outdated belief that that's going to make them happy, but it doesn't, unless it fits for them. But we often want them to be perfect because we're afraid. We're afraid that they will not succeed, that they will make bad choices, that they will mix with the wrong people. I don't know why parents tell me this, because it's a saying I've never heard before from where I come from, but they tell me, I'm afraid my child's going to live under a bridge. You know, you parenting from fear is the worst thing we can do. So that is why I work with parents first, because we need to look at, what's the stress level of mom and dad? Because that stress level of mom or that stress level of dad will cause mom or dad to be in fight, flight, or freeze. And once a parent is in fight or flight, what's the child going to do? The child doesn't have a choice to say, well, never mind, mom's in fight mode right now or in flight mode. I'm just not going to engage with her. When she comes back to feeling better, we'll be able to talk. But right now, I'm just going to move away from here. Children can't do that. So what happens is they become what we are. So our level of stress and the way in which we express it in our parenting becomes the children's level of stress and the way in which they express themselves. And then we get told we have behavioral problems. So it all comes back to us. And there's lots of good news though. The good news is this, number one, and that is that we can, as parents, make some changes in our lives if we decide we want to. And the changes would need to be the kind of changes that reduce our inner stress, because we often place so much stress on ourselves and then we think the children are not picking it up, but they are. So step number one is for us to just ask ourselves one question, and that is, what can I offload from the load I'm placing on myself? We really need to de-stress. The second thing is, very good news, is that when moms and dads know how, we can rewire that child's not enough belief. So what we do is, I spend my days teaching moms and dads how to start a new neural pathway. So we've got the old pathway, which they default into, which is, oh, just not enough. There, you see, mom just told me, I'm just not enough. I mean, she didn't say that, but they're interpreting it. Now, with the new tools that I teach parents, they are able to start a new neural pathway. It's a very gentle one in the beginning, because it's very fragile, and this pathway is, I think I may be so enough. And as I teach them how to strengthen that new neural pathway and how to nurture it and how to fertilize it and how to make it strong, what happens is, and this is the most amazing thing, and that is that the brain scans itself every 3 or 4 months and it's looking for neural pathways which are weakening, like a branch on a tree that's turning brown. And what the brain does is it prunes those neural pathways that are weakening. Isn't that just amazing? It's called neural pruning. And so when moms and dads know how to develop a new neural pathway within the child and to support it and grow it and strengthen it, that the old pathway of I'm not enough goes away, the confidence starts to grow, the emotional resilience comes together with confidence, and we see a very different child. So I wanted to say that I have recently developed a webinar which is called 7 Ways of raising confident, resilient children who are primed for success. It's a free webinar. I like to believe, I'm hearing amazing feedback from it, that it's pretty amazing. And I would like to recommend that you go to my website, and on the homepage you will see that there's a free webinar at the top, and just click there and get the webinar. And in this webinar, you will learn about 7 ways to bring that child's confidence back, or if it's a very young child, to ensure that you are retaining the confidence that the child came into the world with. You'll find that those 7 ways are very different to any kind of parenting that you may have perhaps tried or read or heard of for yourselves, because my 7 ways are very much based on neuroscience, because of the fact that I totally believe that old-fashioned parenting doesn't work. You cannot change children from the outside in. The changes must occur from the inside out. And that sounds complicated, but it's not when you know how to do it. So from the outside in, what we're talking about is talking to the children, telling them the right way, having lectures with them, giving them examples, being logical with them, trying to really be reasonable and have good conversations, and trying to convince them that they are amazing. Why are they not confident? They can be confident because they are truly amazing. Doesn't work, because there's a neural pathway which says, I'm not amazing. I'm definitely not amazing. So why is mom telling me I'm amazing? They don't believe it. They can't hold it, because there isn't a neural pathway. And that's what I teach, is how to create that neural pathway. So as you can see, I could go on all night, but I'm going to stop here. And then next week, we are going to look at the ways in some more secrets to developing confidence in the children, or the preventing the loss of confidence. And we're also going to look at the physiological aspects, how a low self-confidence actually affects the biology of the body. I hope you found this useful. I would so very much love to hear from you, because that's the way I grow, and that's the way in which I know to give you what you need. So please connect with me, send me an email, give me feedback in any way that you can. And finally, a reminder again, get onto my website, get that free webinar. It's full of the most fascinating information, as well as tools. And for now, I'm going to say, be safe, be well, and I will see you next week.